Hello and welcome to the YYC Soccer Podcast. My name is Jason Komet and my co-host is Scott Strasser. Hi, Scott.
Hey, Jason. How are you doing today?
Well, so far, so good. It's a Canadian championship matches are going on this week. And there's weirdly enough for the middle of April, there's a lot of soccer to talk about in this part of the world.
I know. It's crazy. I have the TSS Rovers versus Valor game on as we're recording this. So by the time people are listening, we'll know what will have happened. But at the moment, it's 2-0 for TSS Rovers. So good for them.
Yeah, that would be quite the upset. That would be very, very impressive. But maybe after we're done recording this, I'll catch the end of it. Okay, well, if you're a new listener, what's the YYC podcast all about, Scott?
So this podcast focuses on soccer in Calgary at the amateur, collegiate, and professional levels. We talk about the teams and players from the city's soccer community, from grassroots and amateur leagues, all the way up to university and professional leagues.
As we mentioned, there's a whole bunch of things to talk about this week. In fact, so much that I think we may have to split it into two episodes. In this episode, we're going to focus on our interview with Dominic Zator.
Yeah, definitely a well-known name in the Calgary soccer scene. Very much a Calgary soccer success story. Dominic Zator, former Foothills soccer club player, as well as University of Calgary Dinos player, former Cavalry player, former York United player, now plying his trade professionally in Poland's top league, the Ekstraklasa. It was great to get a hold of him, especially considering we're on an 8-hour time difference with him being in Poland at the moment. And it was a great interview we did earlier. He had a lot of interesting things to talk about regarding his time with Corona Kielce so far, and it was perfect timing to do the interview, considering he actually scored his first goal for his new club this past weekend.
Yeah, we got a chance to talk about that and a bunch of other things, including a very well-known player in the soccer world that he's had to face, and it's caught me a little by surprise. I wasn't aware, but yeah, it's a bit of a cool story.
Mm-hmm. I also did not know that player was playing in Poland at the moment, but we'll let him do the reveal in the interview. We can maybe talk about the Cavalry match that just happened, though, as well.
Yeah, definitely. I thought the first match, they got a result in Hamilton, and that's, you know, a tough place to get a result. So I think that I'm guessing the club's happy about that.
Yeah, I agree. Tim Hortons Field, obviously not an easy place to get a result. And Forge, I imagine they'll certainly be among the league's toughest teams yet again, as they have been throughout the CPL's brief history. So well done to a fairly new-look Cavalry squad in securing a draw there.
Wasn't that a wonderful second goal by Kentave? It was beautiful.
Yeah, goal of the week, absolutely. No other goal really came close, I don't think. But no, vicious strike from, I think he was 30 yards out at least, just flew into the top corner, no chance of stopping it. Kudos to him. That was quite a way to open his account for the season.
Yes, definitely. And next we're going to see the Cavs. They're going to be facing Victoria a couple times, actually, on Thursday and on Sunday. And the first one is in the Canadian Championship, and then the one on Sunday is going to be a regular league game.
Yeah, I was actually wondering if they're just going to stay on Vancouver Island that whole time. It doesn't seem to make sense to fly out there, play a game, come back to Calgary, and then fly back out there 2 days later and play another game. But I don't really know what they're doing, if they're just going to stay at a hotel for those, you know, 3-4 days, or if they're going to come back. But curious that they're playing Pacific twice in such quick succession.
Agreed. Maybe we'll find out later on, but I'm guessing that they're probably just going to stay out there and maybe do a little bit of team bonding or something like that. But I guess we'll mm-hmm. see. Also wanted to talk real briefly here about the Canadian Futsal Championships that were played in Calgary this past weekend. It was a lot of fun. Both Scott and I had a chance to see some of the matches, and we're going to do a wrap up with both Calgary team representatives, the men's and the women's, but we're going to leave that for a separate episode. And I think we should have it out on the weekend. We just need a little bit more time and wanted to separate things out with the Dominic Zator interview and that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we went out Sunday. We saw each other at the bronze medal game on the men's side and the gold medal game on the women's side. And after the bronze medal game, we briefly interviewed one of the coaches for the Callies, team after their bronze medal game against the representatives from Manitoba. And he spoke to us about the growth of futsal in Alberta and what it meant to play a tournament like this on home soil.
Keep watching for that. We should have it up on the feed in the next couple days. The next thing I want to talk about was that the first League One Alberta match dates have been announced, and May 12th is the date. The first matches will be both doubleheaders. There'll be a doubleheader in Edmonton and there'll be a doubleheader in Calgary. In Calgary, it's going to be Foothills against Scottish, and it'll be the men's and the women's. But we don't have a venue at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm still curious to find that out. I would hope that they're going to be played on a nice grass field, which in Calgary at the moment, we're still in April. That may not be a reality right now anywhere. Certainly hoping that the games are going to be somewhere like Mount Royal University's field, or perhaps the Broadview pitch that's just off Memorial Drive. But we'll have to wait and see. Jason Blake, when we interviewed him back for our second episode, he told us that the League One Alberta games are going to be held on Friday evenings for the most part. So I do like that. I think that doesn't really clash too much with other soccer watching plans that fans may have on the weekend. I think League One can become a great way to kick off an entire weekend of watching footy. If you're watching either local or European or MLS, whatever you're into, I mean, you could kind of turn it into like how they do football in the United States in the fall, where you have high school games on Fridays and then you have college football on Saturdays and then the NFL on Sundays. Maybe we could have something like that in Calgary with soccer in the near future.
I agree that it could make a lot of sense to do it on Friday. The other Calgary teams involved are the Calgary Blizzard women and the Cavalry U20 team, and they will be heading up to Edmonton on May 12th, and they'll be playing BTB, and those matches will be at Clark Stadium, I believe. Okay, let's get to our interview with Dominic Zator. He's played really well since joining his club in the new year. He was called up to the men's national team, and last weekend, he scored his first goal in the Polish League for Korona Kielce. Let's go to the interview now. Hi, I'd like to welcome Dominic Zator to the podcast. I think a lot of you will be familiar with him. He's a Calgarian who has had a long history in the soccer scene here and has played for Foothills on their championship team, played for Cavalry, and then moved on to York and now is in Poland. And he's playing for Korona Kielce. Again, I really hope I got that right. Thanks for joining us, Dominic.
Yeah, no worries. Yeah, glad to be on with you guys.
Okay, yeah. Well, you've had a lot going on the last little while here, so let's hit some questions. Scott, you want to start it off?
Yeah, I'll start it off, and thanks again, Zats, for being available. One last team you forgot to mention there, Jason, University of Calgary Dinos. Zats was on that team for 5 years, had a very good U-Sports or CIS career. But Zats, first question I'll ask you is about your first goal for Korona Kielce last weekend. I believe it tied it up 1-1, kind of a trademark Dominic Zator header, but can you kind of talk to us about what happened on that play and what it meant for your new club?
Yeah, I mean, it was a bit of like a scramble play, just the ball ended up coming out to the left back and I was fairly high up the pitch. So I thought, you know what, I might as well try to make a run back post. Ended up working out that the ball did go back post and I just thought, you know, it's my chance to kind of get on the end of it. Worked out that I was able to connect and put in the back of the net. And I mean, yeah, scoring my first goal, especially a crucial goal for us at that time. We're a bit on our heels, but like we had a bit of momentum to score the goal, level things out at home. It was honestly spectacular. It was the scenes in the stadium were, it was wild. I had so many emotions going through me. And it was also great to see. It was like the first game my wife was at, her sister and her fiance. So to be able to score that goal with special ones around me was also pretty special.
Mm-hmm. And that game ended 2-1 for you guys?
Yes. We ended up winning the game in like the 94th minute or something, which was crucial for us to get the 3 points. We need those points right now this season.
Yeah, I see. I got the extra class at table up in front of me, and I see that that would have lifted you up to 11th place, 34 points, 3 or 4 points outside of the relegation zone. So definitely huge win for Korona Kielce on the weekend.
One thing I wanted to ask about was often when Canadians go to Europe, it takes a little while for them to settle into their club. but you seem to find the transition to be really quite seamless. You've been starting all the matches and you've been playing, you know, really well. What do you attribute this to, this somewhat seamless transition?
I mean, I guess it looks like a seamless transition, but there's a lot of things that go on in the background and like the work and effort I've put in, and it's not easy. I mean, I think I also got a bit of experience from that when I was on loan to Vasalund, first season with York United. It was difficult because I wasn't playing much there, and it was my first kind of taste of European football. So making sure I did everything I could to play, but it was sometimes it just doesn't work out. You're not playing, so it's frustrating. You just got to kind of mentally get through it. But I think it was a good learning lesson for me there. So when I kind of made that transition over here to Poland, I knew things were going to be tough. I knew the position this club was in. It was my first actual like contract with a European club. So really my goal was just to make sure I was part of the dressing 18 for that first game. And I just knew during that preseason trip when we went to Turkey before the second half of the season started, I would do everything I can to kind of showcase why I should be on the field or at least part of the traveling 18. And I think the hard work slowly started paying off. I was able to play a lot of the preseason games, start a lot of those, and ended up starting the very first game against Legia Warsaw, the biggest club probably in playing against Legia Warsaw, the biggest club in this league and in this country. So it was a surreal moment, and I just kind of had my opportunity and I just tried to make the most of it. And thankfully things have kind of worked out, playing 11 straight and now topping it off with a goal last game.
Yeah. Dominic, I've noticed, or I've seen in a couple of highlights and I've heard rumblings that you've been playing a lot at right back. Is that correct?
Yeah. Yeah. This whole season I've been made, well, 10 of the 11 games I've played at right back here.
Okay. And I remember you playing right back for Cavalry back in 2019. But I do know you primarily as a center back. So can you kind of talk a little bit about your, maybe do you have a preference or are you really enjoying playing right back in the extra class at the moment?
Yeah, I mean, I'm enjoying it. I think when you play as a center back for a lot of the time, the only time you can really go up and have a bit more freedom is on set pieces. So I think being that versatile player, being out on the wing, it kind of gives me that green light to kind of dribble the ball forward and take a couple more risks. So I've enjoyed it a lot. It's something a little bit different, but I think it does play to my strengths. I feel like I'm a fairly quick and fit player, so I can run up and down the line. And I've got those defensive tendencies as a center back, but now I'm able to kind of roll back the clock and use some of the stuff the positions I played at youth to kind of come out now playing as a right back. And like you said, with Cavs, it was more of that, like a transition role from right back to center back. But to be honest, I'm enjoying it. I think it's working out well, but it's showing that I've got some versatility.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure about this exactly, if this is going to be a recognizable name per se, but to me at least, but who's the toughest player that you've had to defend against so far when you've been playing in Poland?
Yeah, no, that's, there's been a couple. Josue, he plays for Legia Warsaw, very skilled, I believe Portuguese midfielder, like an attacking midfielder, but not this game. The past one, we played against a club called Górnik Zabrze, and there's a World Cup winner on there, Lukas Podolski. I'm sure maybe you guys are familiar with that name, for Germany, or played for Germany, German national team, and Arsenal. And going up against him, like, you can just see the talent and skill a player like that has. Even though it's like coming to like the end of his career, he still has those sparks that you can see what a like world-class player he was.
Yeah, well, the peace war got yeah. Lukas Podolski. Awesome.
Yeah, that's definitely a name that I do recognize.
Awesome. Next question for you, Dom, is simply, I want to ask you about the fan atmosphere in Poland thus far and kind of the football culture in general. Is there a lot of, like, the fan scene in Poland, I know, can is probably a lot more intense than what you experienced in Canada and maybe Sweden as well. But can you kind of talk a bit about how important this league is to the people of these Polish cities that you're visiting or living in?
Yeah, absolutely. I think football is honestly it's so important to them. It's something that everybody just grew up watching, and it's like they're so passionate. It's unbelievable to see most of the games. You're getting minimum like 10,000 people coming out to games, and you can hear them. They're screaming, they're chanting. They've got songs like the whole game. They're going at it, and even away games, you have the supporters group that are coming out in hundreds. And honestly, playing at home, especially the last game when we had over 10,000 people, fairly close to full stadium, you could just hear the crowd, and it kind of gives you that extra bit of motivation to kind of keep going and fighting for them. It does play a factor, I'd say, and it's not just in our city; it's in all of these cities. The fan base is unbelievable. Even when we go traveling, you can see the supporters groups for those teams, and it's honestly, it's been pretty spectacular to see such a thing.
Mm-hmm. Sweet.
Okay, that's great to hear about the fan atmosphere, but I want to know, what other kind of differences have you noticed between playing pro in Poland as opposed to playing in Canada?
Yeah, I mean, that's a good question. I think the standard is higher. You're also playing in some beautiful stadiums. Not much more to say besides those kind of things. I think those are like the key aspects. I think the range from like the best players to the worst players, if you say it that way, is the gap isn't as large. So the quality is just quite good here. And yeah, I think the other aspect of it is just playing in these beautiful stadiums and like nice grass pitches for the most part.
Mm-hmm. Tom, I want to transition now to talking about your recent national team call-up. That was your second time invited to the to John Herdman's setup. What was it like for you to get that call up, and what was it like for you coming into the Canadian team for the second time in your career?
Yeah, I mean, I was very honored, and I was extremely proud of myself to get that call up, because I knew I was kind of taking a gamble going over to Europe to a team. Obviously, they're top division, but they were struggling. But I knew if I was able to play well, kind of help the team, then there would be an opportunity to maybe get the call up. And I think I wasn't too sure if I'd be able to get that call up in that March window. I was hoping for like maybe the end of the year, but things just kind of went well. And once I got the call, I was extremely, extremely happy with that. And yeah, I was being at the camp and amongst some of those players again, it's fantastic. You can see again, the quality that's within the national team now. And it was brilliant to be a part of. Disappointed in the end not to make my debut. But I mean, again, it's a building block, and I'm just going to take the positives from that and just kind of move forward and continue playing here, hopefully well enough to get another chance to get called up.
Right on. And just a follow up to that, something Jason and I talked about in one of our first episodes was how much Calgary representation there was in the last window. So obviously, you know, Victor was there with you, and then Sam, your former Foothills teammate, as well as Scott Kennedy. Can you kind of talk talk with us a little bit about like how you kind of, do you think that's going to be like a regular thing, seeing a lot of Calgarians make the national team in the coming years?
I mean, I sure hope so. I believe there is quality that's coming out from Calgary. And as you can see, some of the players that are there now, like Scott Kennedy, I believe has been playing very well. He's still playing in Bundesliga 2. He'll probably be getting the call up for every camp. So that's great to see. Sam Adekubi, great player. Obviously, he's playing well right now. He's at Galatasaray, and he's been playing well. I think got an assist last game. So he's been flying. And again, a player like Victor Latoury, he's making the most of his opportunity over in Scotland. And I think when I saw him at the camp, he definitely has changed a bit for the better from Cavs. I think he's grown up a bit more. He's intellectual and he's good on the ball. So just to see the growth of Victor, even when I was with him, 5 years ago, Cavs first year, it's great to see. So I just see the quality of Calgarians coming through the ranks. So, I mean, I'm sure there's going to be future Calgarians that are going to be getting those call-ups, and hopefully soon.
All right, let's go off the pitch a little bit. And I was curious, what off-field challenges have you faced by moving overseas? It's, as you mentioned, you spent a little bit of time in Sweden previously, but what's it been like this time around?
Yeah, I mean, it's never an easy transition when you make your way over to Europe. Like when I came here, it was on my own. So it was difficult. I got married in December, but moved out in January alone because I had to just kind of sort things out with my wife to make sure things, like, she settled and got her kind of priority set still and her work obligations and stuff kind of covered. So I came over alone. So it's difficult when you're just moving to a new country. It made it a bit easier that I spoke the language, so it's made a bit smoother of a transition. But again, there's many things you have to kind of adjust to with the culture. Yes, even though I know the language, it's a bit off. I'm not able to manage it like 100%, but I was able to get through it. And it's, yeah, different culture, different scenery, and then 8-hour time difference. So when you have to kind of call back home and chat with familiar people, it's not easy, but I mean, it's something you kind of manage. And yeah, I mean, it's all right. It was nice because my parents also came after like a month when I was here just to kind of visit Poland as well and their family. So that kind of helped. And then now that my wife's here, kind of makes things a little bit easier. You got someone kind of with you all the time. But yeah, initially it's not an easy thing, but when you're kind of chasing the dream, you kind of got to deal with these kind of situations. But yeah, it's not bad. I think everything kind of has worked out so far.
Okay. Scott, do you have any final questions here? I've got one more question, but...
I'm all good, Jason. If you want to cap off the interview, that's fine with me.
Okay, well, I'm going to end it on a very Calgary-specific question. What do you miss most about Calgary, besides, you know, family, friends, I think is sort of obvious, but what's something about Calgary that you particularly miss?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, good question. I don't know if there's just like the one thing that I'd miss. I mean, it's like you said, family, friends, being at home. It's nice. To be honest, I think being close to like the mountains and things like that, that's always great. To be honest, when it was cold over here, you don't get that much sunlight, even though in Calgary it can get very cold and a lot of snow. But growing up in that my whole life, I'm kind of used to it. But you know, when you get the sunshine, even though it's minus 40, the sun in Calgary, which is it makes things a little bit easier. It puts a smile on your face. So those are kind of little things. The Calgary atmosphere, I kind of miss.
Okay. And when you get back to Calgary in the off season, what's the first restaurant you want to visit?
The first restaurant, I don't know if I will probably go to a restaurant. It'll probably be to either to my house. So it's a home cooked meal for my parents and then a home cooked meal for my wife's family. Both of them, I'm just missing good home food.
Homemade. Okay. Sounds great. Scott, anything else?
Well, cool. I'm good. But yeah, thanks again for being available and answering our questions.
Yeah, of course. No worries. Thanks for having me on, guys.
Yep. Sure. We appreciate your time. Thanks again to Dominic Sator. And best of luck in the remainder of the season.
Brilliant. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thanks again to Dominic Sator for taking the time to do the interview. Any thoughts, Scott?
As I said before we rolled that interview, I think it's great to see a Calgary soccer success story like Dominic and to catch up with him. I always enjoy hearing from pro players when they talk about the difference between playing in Europe versus Canada. But I do notice that a lot of players always use the cliche answer of, oh, the game is much faster, you have to play the ball quicker. And I feel like Dominic definitely elaborated beyond that and gave some pretty well-reasoned responses to our questions about what it means to play in a football-crazy country like Poland. So I really appreciated that.
Yes, I would agree with that. I thought his answers were really quite thoughtful, and he's definitely given a lot of thought about what his goals are and how he wants to achieve them. And he's at a point in his career where I think he knows what he needs to do in order to reach those targets. And he's been really having a good year this year and really moving closer to that, you know, making the men's national team and advancing his career overseas.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, thank you for listening to the YYC Soccer Podcast. You can subscribe to the podcast by all the usual podcasting platforms. You can head over to our website at yycsoccer.com for more information about how to subscribe or to leave a question or comment. You can also follow us on Twitter at yycsoccer403. Thanks for listening.